I think it's especially significant when you really understand what understanding means biblically. If there was anybody recorded in the Bible, other than someone that had had some mystery revealed to them, that would really want to understand, Job would be an example of somebody. He did not know why he was suffering the way he was. He did not understand why all these things were happening to him. When you see this talked about in the book of Job, especially in Job 28, which is Job talking, by the way, where does understanding come from? Where does it originate? You know, that's not just a poetic discussion about understanding. Job is wanting to know, how can I find it? I need to know why these things are happening to me. He says, where shall wisdom be found? Where is the place of understanding? Man knoweth not the price thereof, neither is it found in the land of the living. It can't come from human agents. All those friends of his, Bildad, Zophar, and Eliphaz, were trying to give him some understanding, you know. That was what they were doing. I don't think they had the wrong motives. They really were trying to give him some understanding. But they didn't have understanding. They said some things that were true. They said some things that had some accuracy to them, maybe not about Job, but just general statements. But they didn't understand what God was doing. The closest it came is when finally Elihu stood up, that young man, and he started to preach a message at the end, which was powerful. And that message ended by God himself speaking. That's a pretty powerful thing when your message gets backed up by God. And you know it was backed up by God, because the very end of the book of Job, God does rebuke the counselors that were giving counsel to Job, but he says not one word negative about Elihu. He talks about the three friends prior to Elihu. We've read this before, but I want you to pick out the understanding elements in here. The depth saith, it is not in me, talking about understanding. The sea saith, it's not with me, it cannot be gotten for gold, neither shall silver be weighed for the price thereof. It cannot be valued with the gold of Ophir, with the precious onyx or the sapphire. The gold and the crystal cannot equal it, and the exchange of it shall not be for the jewels of fine gold. No mention shall be made of coral or of pearls, for the price of wisdom is above rubies. The topaz of Ethiopia shall not equal it, neither shall it be valued with pure gold. Whence then cometh wisdom? And I'm sure Job wanted to know. Where is the place of understanding? How can I find understanding? Seeing it is hid from the eyes of all living and kept close in the fowls of the air. Destruction and death say, we have heard the fame thereof with our ears. This is extremely poetic. God understandeth the way thereof, and he knoweth the place thereof. For he looketh to the ends of the earth and seeth under the whole heaven to make the weight for the winds. He weigheth the waters by measure. When he made a decree for the rain, a way for the lightning of the thunder. Now, do you realize what he's describing here? What does this have to do with him searching for understanding? He's describing all the things that go on in the natural realm that there's no predictability to us of why do storms occur when they do and why do things happen the way they do in the natural realm. I don't understand. Then did he see it and declare it. He prepared it, yea, and searched it out. And unto man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And apart from evil, that goes to what you brought up at the beginning of the class, Brother Don, that is understanding. There's three of the seven spirits of God in that passage. Understanding, wisdom, the fear of the Lord. If an individual truly has understanding, he'll depart from evil. You know why? You'll know what the end result will be. You'll see the big picture. You'll realize that I take that step. Let me give you another example of seeing the big picture. Imagine if you had a map in front of you and you could see where all the roads lead and you know this road only leads to this destination. If you know you don't want to go to that destination, you wouldn't start walking down that road, would you? Understanding shows you the whole map. So you can see this will take me to a place I don't want to go. I'm not talking about going on a vacation either. I'm talking about the choices you make in your life that'll take you to places you don't want to go. If I make this one choice, it'll set me on a path that I can't see where that path's going. But if God will give me understanding, I'll see that path winds out into a direction I don't want to go over there. I don't want to end up where that path will take me. But understanding will let you see the ends of things so you can choose the right paths. And when God responds, Job 38:4, where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare if thou hast understanding. In other words, I'm the one who knows what the big picture is here. Amen. If you go back to the 11th chapter of Job, there's a very interesting passage there, 7th, 8th, 9th verse. It says, canst thou by searching find out God? Canst thou find out the Almighty unto perfection? Now, I'm going to parallel this to New Testament scripture. I don't know why, but I almost never hear anyone parallel, but it perfectly parallels this. It is high as heaven. What canst thou do? Deeper than hell. That's the grave. What canst thou know? The measure thereof is longer than the earth. This is the knowledge of God. That's what this is talking about. And broader than the sea. In other words, it's far too big for any of us. It's just too wonderful for us, as one verse says. It's too wonderful for me. It's too big. It's too high. And it is true that God cannot be carnally comprehended. You cannot, by reason or intellect or the exercise of your mind, search out God. And you realize that in the verse right before that, the statement that's being made is regarding a desire to know the secrets of God's wisdom. You know, you can't. There is none of that unless God chooses to reveal it to you. He can give you that understanding, though you can't search it out. God can reveal himself to you, but you're not going to do it with carnal searching. He can give it to you through spiritual insight, though. And there's where I'd take you to a New Testament scripture in Ephesians 3:14-21, if you want to get the whole picture. It says, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man." Now listen close to these next couple verses. "That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend." This is the key part. I want you to parallel this with the fact that in Job 11 it says, "Can you, by searching, find out God?" And it gives you four dimensions, by the way. "That you may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height." Nobody could ever comprehend it before, but because Jesus dwells in us, saints, we can come to know God in a way man could never have known God. That's what this is telling us. I can only imagine Paul, when he was writing this letter, was so excited when he was saying this. This was impossible all through history. Man could not, by searching, ever find out God. But now God wants to reveal himself to us. And Christ in us, the hope of glory, is part of what will reveal God. "That we may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God." So those four things that man by his own searching could never find out, God can give to you. He can give you that kind of an intimate knowledge of him if he chooses to. And he goes on to say in that passage, you got to read the end of the chapter to get the whole point. "Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think." This is beyond our comprehension, isn't it? But he can do it for us. "According to the power that worketh in us." Not the power that worketh in heaven. It is working in heaven. The power that worketh in us. Meaning the power that can do all these things is not just external out there somewhere. It's working in us. That's Christ in us. That'll produce the love of Christ. When you've truly got the fullness of the love of Christ, that's that intimacy with God that Christ has. And when you've got that intimacy with God, you'll come to understand him better. You'll come to know him better. See, the more you love him, the more he'll reveal himself to you. And the more he reveals himself to you, if you have any sense at all, the more you'll love him. The Gaithers wrote a song that fits pretty well with that, you know. "The longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows. The more that I love him, more love he bestows." Do you know that's so true of God? The deeper of a relationship and understanding we get of God, the more it should develop the love of God in us. And the more the love of God's developed in us, the more God will open himself to us so that we can come to know him better. There's four dimensions that no man can, by his own carnal comprehension, his own carnal searching, can find out about God. And yet Paul lists four dimensions there that now, because of the love of Christ working in us, God can reveal himself to that level. 38:36. This is related to the question that Job had been asking, and it's God asking it back. "Who hath put wisdom in the inward parts, or who hath given understanding to the heart?" Well, that's a rhetorical question. God is the one. You want wisdom and understanding? You're going to have to get it from God. And that's two of the seven spirits of God. I'm going to quickly go through some in Proverbs. Proverbs, a book full of sayings regarding wisdom and understanding, knowledge, and the necessity for those elements, and very wise statements and advice, begins with the necessity for understanding. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel: "To know wisdom and instruction, do perceive words of understanding." This is the purpose of Solomon writing these Proverbs. "To receive instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young men knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear, will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels." Now there's an example, Brother Stevens, where it's something that you're learning. Proverbs focuses more on the learning side of it. where some of the prophetic statements where God is giving insight into a dream or a vision is not about learning how to interpret dreams and visions. It's an instantaneous insight God just gives. Three of the seven spirits of God in that passage. But I think it's interesting, the entire book begins by noting the importance of understanding, wisdom, knowledge, and the phrase a man of understanding and to understand are both that root word being of Bina. It takes understanding, wisdom, and knowledge to comprehend some of these deeper mysteries. That's what I was saying about some of the doctrines. You're going to have all these elements working. It's not going to be enough just to have some knowledge where you know what certain words mean or you can quote certain scriptures. You need to have wisdom and understanding as well to bring it all together into a package so you properly understand. And the fact of the matter is, the more you know, the more you can come to know. That's true of any education, really. Proverbs 2:3, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding. Knowledge there, by the way, is Bina, understanding. So that verse is especially misleading because the English word understanding is in there, but it's not the word understanding in Isaiah 11:2. It's tabun. And tabun does mean understanding. They probably thought, well, we have to have another word than understanding here because it wouldn't make sense to say understanding twice when it's two different Hebrew words. But it can be misleading when you're studying the seven spirits of God because the word translated understanding, Isaiah 11:2, is the word knowledge here, not the word translated understanding, if you're following. But this is one of those prerequisites that it tells you here. Longing for it, crying out for it, wanting it, is one of the things that will cause there to be a response from the Lord to give you that kind of wisdom and understanding, knowledge. Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. You realize that leaning to your own understanding is exactly the opposite of trusting in the Lord? If you're trying to figure it out on your own, you're not trusting in the Lord. And if we truly do have spiritual understanding, we'll comprehend what God's doing as part of the big picture, and we won't try to take actions based on our own limited understanding. Proverbs 4, 1-2. Hear, you children. Here's another example of understanding being given by instruction. Hear, you children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine. Forsake you not my law. This is a parent talking to their child and saying, look, I have learned some things. You'd be wise to listen to me. You'll get some understanding. There's some things you'll get that the only way you're going to learn them otherwise is the hard way. If they're true things that somebody's already learned through the lessons of their life, you ought to value those things because the only way you're going to get them is having to go through them too. And I can tell you from experience, you'd be better off learning from someone else's experience than having to go through it yourself in terms of a bad experience. Some lessons you learn from a bad experience, there's some terrible things I went through in my life, and I learned some very valuable lessons, but I'd never want to have to watch my children learn them that way, because some of them almost killed me. There were some lessons I learned that if God had not protected me, I would have died learning that lesson. I would have learned it and been dead. So what value would it have had for me? There's some lessons that I had to learn that I would have been better off dead if God hadn't saved me out of that. I wouldn't want my children to go through that. I don't want anyone to go through that. I don't want anyone in our church to go through things. There's where the counsel of a father, whomever that father might be, a minister, an elder individual, a father or grandfather, a mother or grandmother, can be so valuable to other individuals is that there's things that you can get some insight on that you could not get otherwise, or in some case, you cannot get without a great deal of pain and suffering. By the way, I just think it's kind of interesting. It's a perfect example of a Hebrew word that's very pictorial. When it says attend to no understanding, that word attend in Hebrew is kashab. It literally means to prick up the ears. So that's what he means. And he says attend, look, prick your ears up because I've got something I need to tell you. Proverbs 4, 5-7, get wisdom, get understanding. Forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And with all thy getting, get understanding. I told you, I think we talked about knowledge, wisdom, and understanding in a package, why that's important. Because there's a lot of people that can get knowledge and wisdom, but they really don't have the motivation to use it because they don't see the value. They might know a lot of things. They might have information. They might know how things should be done and maybe even done right, but they don't want to go through the effort of doing them because they don't see the value in it. There's a lot of people that know what the Bible says, but they don't want to obey it because they don't see the value. They may even know how to do something right, but they don't see the value in doing it right. They'll cut corners or they'll do some wrong things because they don't see the value. You know what understanding does? It gives you the reason why. So with all you're getting, get all the knowledge you can. Get all the wisdom you can. But with all you're getting, get understanding. It's good to know a lot of things, but if you don't do anything with them, it doesn't have much value. You need to understand why. And sometimes what has limited Christians, especially as each generation comes on, is that the generation before, and I pray to God that we are capable of doing this in our assembly and in our families. I pray this over my family all the time, that I'll be able to give my children and give this assembly understanding. You'll know why we have to believe what we believe. You'll know why we have to do things the way we do them. There's knowledge and wisdom. There's a reason we believe what we believe about certain things in the Bible. There's a reason we believe what we believe about certain cultural issues. There's a very important why. I pray that our people will always have an understanding, because sometimes we can be full of knowledge, but we don't have much understanding. So with all our getting, we need to get understanding. There's two of the seven spirits of God in that passage. Brother Lee had brought up earlier that some of these things can be given instantaneously, and they certainly are at times. They're also often given through instruction. And notice in this one, it says, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. They're given by instruction and they're retained by discipline and diligence. You've got to diligently choose that I am not going to lose what I have been given. Proverbs 7:4 says, say unto wisdom, thou art my sister, and call understanding thy kinswoman. There's two of the seven spirits. You know what that means, referring to him as a sister and kinswoman? It's just a very poetic way of saying you need to be as intimate with these things as you can. Treat them like they're your own family. Make them your close mental companions. Like you spend a lot of time with your family, you're close with your family. That's how you should be with wisdom and understanding. Proverbs 8, you could read through that whole chapter, but part of that says, I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge of witty inventions. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogancy, and the evil way, the froward mouth, do I hate. Counsel is mind and sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. We went through that passage already, but in that passage, you got at least six of the seven spirits mentioned, and they're all interrelated and aids in producing each other. Proverbs 9:6, forsake the foolish and live and go in the way of understanding. The way of understanding is a way of life. Your way of life is based on the fact that you have a comprehension of who God is, what God's doing, and it causes you to make certain decisions and have a certain life path. The way of the foolish will lead to death. The way of understanding will lead to life. Four verses later, it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It's Proverbs 9:10. And the knowledge of the holy is understanding. There's four of the seven spirits. There's another example of the fact that if the more that we come to know God, the more understanding of him we'll have. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The knowledge of the holy is understanding. You realize what that just said? The more you know about God, the more understanding you'll have. There's only a couple ways you can know more about God, you know, through his word and through direct, intimate interaction with him. You've got to have experiential interaction with God through his spirit, through prayer, through worship, but you've also got to study his word, because those are the channels through which you'll come to know God in a greater way. Two more in Proverbs. Proverbs 16:16. How much better is it to get wisdom than gold? This goes right along with what it said in Job 28. And to get understanding rather than to be chosen than silver. Now, obviously, understanding and wisdom and knowledge and these other things are far more valuable than any material thing, but let me give you an extremely practical reason why they'd be more valuable. There's two real simple reasons you could use in a very practical way. This is not spiritual, but just show you how practically more valuable they are. Do you realize if someone had a great measure of knowledge, wisdom, and understanding, they would be able to have financial success? The fact that they had knowledge, wisdom, and understanding would be a constant capacity for them to have financial success. Right. So what price would you put on that? The engine of you being able to have financial success, not just being given something one time, but being able to produce success, is based on, I'm talking about in the most secular sense, it's based on wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. If you had great wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, you could be materially wealthy. Spiritually, though, it's better to have these than anything material you could ever have. You'd be better off with nothing at all and have these. Because the riches in heaven that you're storing up through having knowledge, wisdom, and understanding of God are far more lasting and durable and valuable than anything you could have on this side. Proverbs 23:23 says, buy the truth and sell it not. also wisdom and instruction and understanding. There's two of the seven spirits. Notice how they're to be bought. There's always a price for these things. Either you get it for the current need because you're in a leadership position, or a person like Daniel or Joseph, who God gives that instant insight to, or you will have to purchase it. If you consider the lives of men like Daniel and Joseph, they purchased it, whether they knew it or not. The reason that God gave Joseph that insight is because of those years of faithfully serving God through that suffering. Now, I didn't say he gave it to him progressively over those years in prison. I don't think he did. I think he gave it to him instantaneously, right there when he heard that dream. He didn't have some storehouse of information in his mind about how to interpret dreams. He gave it instantaneously, but he still bought it. He bought it through his faithfulness. He bought it through his purity of life. Joseph lived a clean life, and he held on to God no matter what God took him through. God put him in prison for years and looked like there's no hope, but Joseph would not let go of God. He purchased that potential for God to give him greater things, because faithfulness is one of the great things that God will respond to quickly. He sees a person that's faithful through all things, he'll give you some of these things. That was true of Daniel too, if you want to think it through. Daniel was taken prisoner. Daniel was in a very bad situation. Numerous times in Daniel's life, as high as he was up in the political pecking order of Babylon and Persia, Daniel many times faced terrible danger. Different times his political enemies, as you know, that's where we get the story of Daniel in the lion's den. His political enemies were determined to have him killed. This was not a man that had a peaceful existence. He had a very difficult existence, but he paid the price through his faithfulness. His faithfulness to God, no matter what he faced, God gave him great insights. On the opposite side of God giving understanding, God will take some of these qualities away if a people lose their relationship with him. God will remove their knowledge, remove their wisdom. There's so many scriptures you could use for that, especially in the book of Isaiah, where he talks about how they did this and now blindness has come on them. Isaiah 29 is one passage. I'll read maybe four verses there. Wherefore the Lord saith, forasmuch as this people draw near me with their mouth and with their lips do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the precept of men. Therefore, behold, I will proceed to do a marvelous work among this people. Usually when you hear that, it sounds pretty good, doesn't it? This is not going to be marvelous in a positive way. Even a marvelous work and a wonder. For the wisdom of their wise men shall perish, and the understanding of their prudent men shall be hid. Woe unto them that seek deep to hide their counsel from the Lord. Notice how many of these are the exact opposites of the seven spirits. Their counsel, not his. And their works are in the dark, and they say, who seeth us and who knoweth us? Surely your turning of things upside down shall be esteemed as the potter's clay. For shall the work say of him that made it, he made me not? Shall the thing framed say of him that framed it, he had no understanding? You could probably pick out about four of the seven spirits of God in there in reverse. They're not the seven spirits of God. They're the opposite of those seven spirits. And the covering of those elements are going to be lost by people that don't remain in relationship. By the way, there is a hope built into the same chapter, though. If you read a little further on the chapter, in the 24th verse, this is what occurs when restoration comes to a people that have had their wisdom and knowledge and understanding lost to them. They also that erred in spirit shall come to understanding, and they that murmured shall learn doctrine. So there's hope. Even in that, God builds a hope in that I can restore this back to you. Jeremiah 23:20. Says, the anger of the Lord shall not return until he have executed, till he have performed the thoughts of his heart. In the latter days you shall consider it perfectly. That word perfectly is bina, understanding. So you might say, in the latter days you'll consider it with understanding. You'll understand it. That's pretty obvious why that would be. Hindsight, right? Once you see it in the latter days, after it all happens, you can look back on it and say, oh, now I understand what God was doing. Mark 12:32-33, when the scribe said unto Jesus, regarding Jesus' statement of there being one God and loving him with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, he said, there is one God, there's none but he, and to love him with all the heart and with all the understanding and with all the soul and with all the strength and to love his neighbor as himself is more than all the burnt offerings and sacrifices. Isn't it interesting? Of course, there's two of the seven spirits there. But one of the things we have to love God with is with our understanding. Amen. And I told you just a little bit ago, the more understanding you have of God, the more you'll love him.
Amen.
And the more you love him, the more understanding he'll give you. Wouldn't you want to have more understanding of God? Think of the cyclical effect of that and the building. Right. I love you, Lord. I want to know you more. I want to understand you more. I want to be wiser in my actions towards you and towards your people. So God gives you more understanding. And then you realize, I know him so much better now, and now I love him even more. And then he says, you have seen nothing yet. And God reveals more of himself, and then you realize, I love him even more than I loved him before. Your love just keeps growing, and the more your love grows, the more your understanding of him grows, and the more your understanding of him grows, the more love you have for him. Understanding is pretty important, isn't it? Jesus was renowned for his understanding. Paul was renowned for his understanding. Sister Sharon mentioned a verse here earlier on that is referring to Paul being renowned for it. Jesus, it's in Luke 2:47, where it said, all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. How Jesus could put together all the pieces. Yeah. Oh, they'd heard answers before, but nobody put all the pieces together like Jesus. Nobody could take all the pieces and put them into a picture like Jesus could paint. And then Paul, I think this is the verse you were referring to earlier in Ephesians 3:4, when Paul says, whereby when you read, in other words, reading my epistles I'm writing, reading my teachings, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. The word knowledge there is synesis, the Greek word for understanding. You'll understand my understanding. You see why they translated it knowledge, don't you? The reason is that when it says you may understand, that word is the Greek word noieo, N-O-I-E-O, noieo. And it can mean to comprehend something. So instead of saying that you'll comprehend my understanding, they said understand my knowledge. But the word knowledge there is actually understanding. I'm going to give you three verses that were Paul's hope for the church. All of them related to his great desire that the church and those that were under his ministry, Timothy as an example of that, would have understanding. In Colossians, twice he talks about this. The first chapter, the 9th verse. For this cause also, since the day we heard it, we do not cease to pray for you and desire you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. There's three of the spirits of God. Paul was praying that Colossian church would have knowledge and wisdom and understanding. The word knowledge there isn't gnosis, but it's a related word, epinosis. Colossians 2, the first three verses. For I would that you knew what great conflict I have for you. He meant conflict in the spiritual realm, crying out to God on their behalf. And for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement, notice how it's associated with this again, of the mystery of God, and of the Father, and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. There's three of the seven spirits. But you know what the full assurance is? Remember what I said earlier on, that understanding will give you peace? All the things that that church was going through, all the conditions they were facing, do you know what would bring them peace? Understanding, the full assurance of understanding. There's an assurance and a security in understanding. And then finally, the last of these is in 2 Timothy, the 2nd chapter, first 7 verses. The 7th verse I'll start with and then go back. In the 7th verse, Paul says, consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Now, I want to start with that and then finish with what he was saying, because this is some of the things we need understanding in. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. All of this is associated with things Paul is praying Timothy will have understanding about, but these next few statements especially. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. If you're going to endure hardness, one of the greatest things that will help you endure it is understanding why you're going through it. That's why Paul was saying, the Lord give thee understanding, Timothy. Let him make you understand why you've got to endure this hardness. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Look, Timothy, you cannot get tangled up with the things of this world. God give him understanding so he knows why. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet he is not crowned, except he strive lawfully, the husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. God, let this man know. That's what he's praying in the 7th verse. Give him understanding. God, let Timothy understand the process he's going to have to go through and the fact that he's going to have to labor as a husbandman for you and that he's going to have to be a first partaker of the fruits. And I told you here just lately in one of our services, that's not talking about receiving material benefits. That's talking about the spiritual process that has to be done in an individual to produce the fruits of the Spirit. The husbandman, the individual who's working on other people's lives, is the very first one that's going to be having to be producing fruits in his own. You're not going to produce fruits in the lives of other people that you don't have in your own. Not unless God is simply using you as an instrument to get something done and he's not getting his job done in you. That'd be a sad state. If God was working through a minister and just using him as a temporary instrument because he couldn't get the job done in him, so he had to get it done through him for the sake of the people. That's happened, saints. We've had ministers in the history of the church and in the history of our body as well that God was doing a work through them and unfortunately may not have gotten the work done in them. But he loved his people so much that in spite of the fact that that person was not getting the work done in them, he got that work done through them in the lives of individuals. Better yet, that the husbandman that labors be the first partaker of the fruits. Meaning that you're laboring to produce them in the lives of other people, and God help me to produce them in my life. I want to be the first partaker. If I'm telling the people to have the Spirit of Christ, I want to have the Spirit of Christ. If I'm telling you, you need to develop the love of God in your lives, the first of those 12 fruit of the Spirit, I want the love of God. You know how we're going to be able to do that? Have understanding. Thank God that God has given us some understanding. Amen. Let's have what Paul prayed for Timothy. Lord, give us understanding in all things. Praise his holy name. Is there anything anyone wants to add here? Anything someone has a question on?
Paul was a good example of a man with knowledge, but the understanding didn't come till he was converted.
You're absolutely right about that. Paul was full of knowledge. Saturated with knowledge.
Yeah.
Paul did not have wisdom or understanding, though.
No.
He didn't know how to do things right. You know, when Paul encountered Jesus on the Damascus Road, when his eyes were opened, it wasn't just that his eyes were opened to the knowledge of who Christ was. His eyes were opened to an understanding.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Do you realize in Paul's mind, all the information was already there to know exactly who Jesus was? Do you realize that those rabbinical students, at the level of a student that Paul was at, sitting under someone like Gamaliel, memorized massive amounts of the scripture? I have no doubt in my mind Paul could not have quoted Isaiah 53 front to back without ever opening any scroll. He could have quoted it. I have no doubt Paul could have quoted great blocks of the scripture. The knowledge was all there of who Jesus was. The knowledge of who Jesus was is clear as day in Isaiah 53. But the understanding wasn't there. So though you might argue that on the Damascus Road, Jesus gave him knowledge of who he was, it wasn't really knowledge. He already had that knowledge. He just didn't understand it. And on the Damascus Road, Paul was given understanding. Praise his holy name. God took all those truths that young man had filled his mind with.
Yeah.
And he brought them to life and put them in the right places and rearranged them. And then when he had all the pieces in the right places, now this I mean very metaphorically, when he had all the pieces in the right places, he opened Paul's eyes and let him see the picture. You've been putting these pieces in the wrong places all along, son. Now let me open your eyes and let me show you the picture, the whole picture. That's understanding.
Isn't that what we're going to get to experience by staying faithful to this when it says, come out of her, my people. And we're going to see people that we've longed for because they have such a desire for the Word of God, and yet they're sitting in places where they do not get to hear this, but we'll get the privilege of seeing them just flock to this understanding because they have already filled their hearts with reading the Word of God.
That's right. God is very good at filling people's storehouses so that when it's time for him to give them understanding, they don't have to be taught all of it from scratch. It's already there. They just need it rearranged. They just need someone to come in and rearrange the furniture in their brain. And when God's done rearranging the furniture in their brain, there'll be a temple there that he can inhabit. Praise his holy name, saints. Praise his holy name. One of these days, Sister Sharon, what a beautiful thought.